what happened. When we see or we hear something that we don't expect, we may wonder what happened. And sometimes we ask a person what happened. When you think about this area of life, you find that it is also addressed in Scripture as far as what happened. We see it with David. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 28, we find that King Saul allowed David to marry one of his daughters. That was Michal. As you look at the account, the Bible says, "And Saul saw and knew that Jehovah was with David, and Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him." People sometimes say, "Why are you going to get married?" And people will typically give the answer, "We love one another." Well, as you look at 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 28, you find that David's wife loved him, at least for a period of time. When you look at love, though, when you look at marriage, you find that people do not always stay married. Something happened along the way. If you look at the relationship that David had with Michal, you find that a lot of things happened along the way. Moving down just a little bit more in the text, as you back up in the book, we're going to back up in the book a little bit. We're also first going to take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. You have some information here which says that Saul sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him, to kill him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If thou shalt save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou will be slain." So Michal let David down through the window, and he went and fled and escaped. Life can present some very unique and sometimes some scary experiences for people. And these experiences can happen to the people who are single as well as those who are married. David and Michal, at least for a period of time, they worked together, in this case, to save David's life. Michal not only helped David escape, she lied to her dad. She engaged in some deceptions. Moving down in the chapter a little bit more, 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 13 and 14, and Michal, that's the wife, took the teraphim and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair at the head thereof and covered it with the clothes. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He is sick." She lied to dad. She said, "Oh, he's just sick." Pretended that he was in the bed when he was not. Well, Saul learns about this information and he's angry. He's very upset. Saul gets a response from the daughter, and the daughter's response is this, 1 Samuel 19 and verse 17. And Saul said to Michal, "Why hast thou deceived me thus and let mine enemy go so that he has escaped?" And here's the daughter's answer. Michal answered Saul, "He said unto me, let me go. Why should I kill thee?" David's wife lied. She loved her husband. She's a woman who went to great lengths to protect him. Six names on the slide. Do you recognize them? They're all female names. They're all women who are married. Well, you might think, I don't recognize any of these names. I suspect that would be the conclusion for most of the people who are here. Suppose I were to give you a little more information. Suppose I were to tell you that all six of these women were married to the same man. Now, do you have any idea who these women were? Well, if not, let's take a look at this slide. You now have the same six women, but we've added a name at the top. We've added a name at the bottom. And again, all eight of these women were married to the same guy. Do you now know who it was? Well, somebody says, "Well, it was David. He had eight women." Oh, yes, he did. And he not only had eight women, he had some more. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 13. And David took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem. Here is a guy who started out well. 1 Samuel 18, 1 Samuel chapter 19. His wife loved him. And she engaged in some deception to protect him. But as you continue to look at this man's life, he got to the point where he really messed up in the area of life. When it comes to life, we might start well. We might start off in a fantastic way, but we don't end well. Most of us, for example, have known of young people, perhaps in the younger years when they were in grade school, they were doing well. They did incredibly well. They were the best in the class. Or as you look at the high school years, they did fabulous. They were among the most popular kids. They had the best grades. It looked like they were going to have a marvelous future. But after they were out of high school for a few years, maybe they failed in college. Maybe they failed in the work world. But what looked like was going to work out so well for them in the early years, it just didn't pan out. We've seen some young people. They grow up and they are kind. They're considerate. They're thoughtful. They're respectful in those younger years. They want to learn about God. They look forward to coming to Bible class. Maybe they get good grades in school. But at some point along the way, there is a marked change in their life. Kids have gone off to college. They did so well in high school, but they refused to study in college. It happens in the adult realm as well. There have been people who have been great employees, perhaps for a number of years, and yet the day comes when they're no longer a stellar employee. Same thing happens in marriage. Two people say we love each other, we're going to spend the years of our life together and have the best time of our life. And at some point, the marriage comes apart. The end is bitterness and hate, whereas the beginning was love. A good beginning and a poor ending has also happened in the spiritual realm. People have become Christians and they have gone off like a rocket. They've been faithful, they've been dedicated, they've been commitment. And yet something somewhere along the line happened and they fizzled spiritually. Some have been taught the truth and they clung to the truth for a number of years, but for whatever reason, they finally turned to religious error. We heard for a scripture reading, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, and that's the place where Paul says to the Galatians, what happened? He says, you were running well. For a period of time, your spiritual life was good. You were headed in the right direction. You pleased God, you had it right. And then he asks the question at the end of the verse, why are you no longer obeying the truth? What is hindering you that you have stopped doing what is right? There are quite a few people in life who begin in the right way, but they get off track. Saul's one example, but he is by no means the only one that we have in Scripture. What about Judas? Didn't he start off on the right track? Was he not someone who was handpicked by Christ? Was he not someone who was for a period of time faithful? Yes. What about the young man in Luke chapter 15? He apparently is respectful. He is thoughtful. He is someone who's a good son. But the day comes where he jumps ship. We have individuals in the Bible who get sidetracked. We also have entire congregations. In this study, I want to pull some information from Revelation 2 and 3. I want to go back and look at the seven churches of Asia because I think they offer perhaps the best summary for us. We begin with the church at Ephesus. John said to this congregation, I know, there's no doubt about your works. And there is no question that you are a congregation which toils for God. You have patience. You can't bear evil men. You tried the people who claim to be apostles and their faults. And he says you have not grown weary. This congregation had been taught by great people like Paul. They had made wonderful inroads into their local community. You have all kinds of positive traits. And yet, if you were to go back in time and visit this congregation, you'd probably say, this is the place to be. We've visited different congregations. We've been members of different congregations. But the church at Ephesus, this is a fine, this is an outstanding congregation. These people are working hard. We love this home church. Where's that church today? It's closed. At some point, it got off track. It stopped running well. As you look at Revelation chapter 2, you find, moving down just a little bit more, Revelation 2 verses 4 and 5, especially verse 5, John said, you are fallen. You're no longer running well. If you back up to Revelation 2 and verse 4, John says, you've left something. You've abandoned, you've forsaken your first love. There are in the Bible a lot of warnings. And if we were to search for a common theme in many of those warnings, it would be this. You have started out well. You were running well for a period of time. But something in your life happened. Maybe bad circumstances. Maybe you made a bad choice and you're not going to finish well. People can love what is right and good for a period of time. But for one reason or another, maybe we grow bored. There are people in life, they like something for a period of time and then one day they figure, I've had enough of that. I no longer want to be involved with it. I'm bored. Or maybe it's a relationship that we've formed, especially a good relationship. And one day we decide that we're going to sever, we're going to terminate that relationship. Maybe someone or something becomes more attractive to us. We may see what someone else is doing, and we like that. And our interests and our goals begin to change. The love that we once had for someone or something used to be good in the past, but maybe it's been reduced, and we decide to move on. Finishing well means that we get to the right end point. We hold on to that. And we pursue that regardless of the cost. Sometimes I think we get the impression, especially when it comes to marriage, that it's easy for people. If you look at people who have been married for 50 or more years, you might think they seem like they're happy, and it looks like they've hardly had a problem in the world. Boy, they had half a century together, and it was easy for them. There may be some exceptions. But I'll virtually promise you that in every case, if you talk to somebody who's been married for half a century, they will tell you that their years together worked because they worked. It was not easy. It was not simple. Long-term relationships, successful relationships require maintenance. Sometimes that love for someone or something, it begins to die out. It begins to dwindle a little bit and it needs to be rekindled. It needs to be refired. Maybe more wood needs to be added to the fire. Think about it from this perspective. Have you ever bought a new vehicle? Maybe it wasn't brand new. Maybe it was just newer to you. You had one that was 15 years old and you got one that was 5 years old. How did you treat that vehicle? Well, if you're like most people, you probably treated it well, at least for a period of time. Maybe you went out and washed it on a regular basis. You waxed it. You cleaned out the inside. You took really good care of that vehicle. But what happened after you'd had that vehicle for 5 years or 10 years or 15 years? You're probably no longer maintaining it like you used to. You see, in life, we can start out so well, but we can fail to finish well. We do not want to be like the unsaved and have our life end in a spiritual train wreck. Now, someone might hear this and say, well, as I look at my life, there was a time where I was doing well, I was running well, and I figured that I would finish well. I was raised by good parents, and for many years, I made good choices in life. But as I look back at my life, as I reflect on how things have progressed, there is a time where I can see that I began to drift. I started to make some poor choices, especially in the spiritual realm. And now today, as I look at my life, I have ruined my life. I have wrecked my life. And there's no way for me to finish well. If we end up on a path which means that we are going to finish poorly, the Bible teaches that there is always an opportunity to change. We can get back on the right track. We know that because of Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Jesus said to this church, you're fallen. He says, you've left your first love. Is there any hope for us? Can we possibly get back with the program? Yes. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, Jesus says, I want you to repent. What does that mean? That means you have to change. You have to change for the better. You go back and you do your first work. As you think about what is being expressed to this congregation, John has a little bit more to say. Revelation 2, 7. He says, to him that overcomes. When you look at the word which is translated overcome, it is a key word in the book of Revelation. You find that word being used more than a dozen times. We may not start well. We may run for a while and then stop running well. But in the end, we can finish well. The second church that John wrote to was the congregation at Smyrna. The highlighted text says, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison. Now, this is one of the congregations where John specifically mentions the devil. He doesn't do that with every church, but he does do that with a few of the congregations in Revelation 2 and 3. John said to these brethren, Satan is going to cast you into prison. Well, the devil certainly was not going to literally do that. He didn't have that power, but he was going to work through evil civil government. John is telling these writers, the devil does not want you to finish or finish well. The old serpent wants people to quit doing what's right. If you are not on the path to finishing well, the devil has you in his sights and maybe in his grip. We might be young, we might be old, but Satan wants us to fail versus succeed. God wants us to prevail, the devil wants us to fail, and we get to cast the deciding vote as far as how we're going to run. We must decide if we're a Christian that we're going to, regardless of the cost, we are going to finish a race. And that's going to be finished regardless of the cost. Others around us may not be on that track still. They may have given up. Maybe they're in the process of finishing poorly. But there is a basic principle in life. And that basic principle is that quitters don't win and winners don't quit. Even something like prison, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, should not deter us from finishing well. The next congregation that John wrote to, there's also some information about the devil. And it's interesting information. John says, I know where you live. I know where you dwell. And he says, your home is where Satan's home is. He says, the throne of Satan, the throne, the power of the devil is especially prominent in your community. Now imagine living in a place like that. We, in today's world, want to live in a place which is safe. We want to live in a place which is family friendly. We want to live in a place which has low crime. But John says, you've got the devil in your backyard. This is a place where the devil's power is especially prominent. Finishing well may seem to take all the strength that we have. It might seem incredibly difficult. Some may reach a point where age and health are such where they feel like, I just can't go on. There's no way that I'm going to be able to finish. Peer pressure, as far as the youth, may be so intense, it seems like we're being crushed from every side, that we've got to give up, that there's no way that we can continue. God says to us, I want you to finish, and I want you to finish well, especially when it comes to salvation. If you're a Christian, don't flinch, don't desert, don't give an inch. When it comes to the salvation of your soul, there are times in life where people sometimes have to flee. Maybe there's an emergency situation. Maybe there's a situation which involves danger. And people say, I didn't know I could run so far. I didn't realize I could run so fast, but I made it. Good for you. And that's what we need to do in the spiritual realm. This is why God tells us to approach the Christian life as a race and to finish it. If we're going to do that, we need to be careful about relationships. A week ago, we studied about friendships. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20, God says to a congregation, I have something against you. What do you have against us, God? He says, you allow the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, but she seduces my servants. A lot of people fail to finish well because they get involved with the wrong people. Before you become involved with someone really at any level of life, look at that person and ask if that relationship with someone is going to affect how you finish life, especially when it comes to the Christian realm. That includes the people that you hang around with on a general basis, maybe doing something on the weekends with. That includes the people that you date, and that includes the people that you marry. If we cannot say this person is going to help us finish well, think twice about maintaining that relationship, especially if it looks like that person is going to cause us to finish poorly. Joining ourselves to people who will hinder a good finish is not a wise choice. God is looking for good finishers. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, we again come back to this word, which is rendered overcome. That word is used 18 times in the book of Revelation. God says, this is important, this is significant, I want you to be a good finisher. Now someone says, well, what about people in the Bible? Were they really that good when it came to finishing a race? David messed up. When you look at some other people in Scripture, you find that they also messed up. Abraham, there were times where he didn't do very well, but he finished well in the end. Virtually every Bible character that we can go back and study, they stumbled and they fell. They had some hard knocks in their lives, and yet they finished well time and time again. If we're a Christian, one of the things that should be on our mind every single day would be, I need to finish well. And that means that I need to be living a godly Christian life every single day. If we will be a good finisher, if we will run well, God's going to take notice of it. We notice that from Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. Because thou didst keep the word of my patience, because you wanted to finish well, I also will keep thee from the hour of trial, that hour which is to come upon the whole world. It makes sense to be a good finisher. But you know, not everybody wants to make that choice. Again, the book of Revelation tells us that that's true. Revelation 3, 15 and 16, God says, I know your works. I know that you're not hot. I know that you're not cold. God says, I wish that you were hot or cold. Because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. One way or the other, we're eventually going to finish life. And if we're a Christian, we're going to finish the race. We might not finish it successfully. We might be a poor finisher, or we can be a good finisher. Sometime back, I read an article that was written by a Christian who had attended a funeral. And it was a very strange funeral. This article, which I don't happen to have with me this morning, I deleted it sometime back, but the writer of the article talked about the preacher's funeral message. And I want you to see if you can put yourself mentally in the place where the people were when they attended this funeral service. Imagine that you go to a funeral, and the person who is preaching begins to make remarks like these. The person, the man that we have come here to remember today, was a drunk. He drank like a fish. The deceased was a lush. The alcohol, the level of alcohol that this man drank would have been enough to have killed other people. But the man that we're remembering today didn't die because of liquor. In addition to being a drunkard, the man who's going to be buried today was a fornicator. The man we're remembering today was a homosexual. The man who died, died of AIDS, self-inflicted. If this man had not been sexually immoral, the chances are he'd still be alive today. Now, I dare say that if anybody were at that funeral, and that's about what this guy said, among some other things, people would be squirming in their seats and probably some people would be getting up and leaving. And that's exactly what happened. There were some people who, after the fellow began to talk about AIDS, they were hot under the collar. They were incensed. They were boiling mad. And some left. But some stayed. And one of the people who stayed was the fellow who wrote this particular article. And he said a little bit more. And after he said a little bit more, he finally made a dramatic verbal pivot. He said, I want you to know that this man who really destroyed his life because of sin repented. I told you some of the story, but I didn't tell you the whole story yet as far as this man. It took a long time for this man who was running so poorly to run well. But he finally got with the program. He did change his life. He came back to God. And in the end, he won the race because he finally wised up and finally decided to run well. For the people who were at that funeral service and for the people who were willing to hear everything that this preacher had to say, they listened to one of the most amazing funeral lessons. It's not wise. It's not right to start running well at the end of life. But the good news is that for somebody who has reached that time, it is still possible. As long as there is life in our physical body, we can finish well. What about us? young, old, middle-aged? Are we on that course? And are we headed in the direction where we are going to finish well? How we finish is all that matters in the end. Doesn't matter what kind of house we lived in. Doesn't matter how much money was in the bank account, what kind of job we had, what our education was, what our health was. The only thing that matters is if we finish well. What about you? Are you finishing well? And if today were your last day on earth, would God say, you have finished well? Well done, good and faithful servant. If you can't say yes to that question, then before you leave today, write your relationship with God so you will finish well. If that means becoming a Christian by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, those things are required if you're accountable for your sins. And that will get you on the right road. We can help you with that. Baptistry's warm. If you have become a Christian and you know that you're doing some things where if today were your last day, you would not finish well, and we can help you write your life, we'd like to assist you in that way too. If you have a need so we can help you finish well, please let us know now as we stand and sing.